We Talk Podcast presents...
What it is, what it do, welcome to One Fall with your host Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
Raw had one of its lowest ratings ever, but and it was a fantastic show, right, Josh? Right?
Not great, Bob. And guess what? If you think this rating was bad this week, just wait till next week, because what you gonna do when Donald Trump and Hillary run wild on you?
Vince has got to be so sad.
So next week, Monday, the rating wasn't great this week, and they went against a mediocre Monday Night Football game with the Eagles and the Bears. And this week they'll be going against Monday Night Football again, Atlanta, New Orleans, star power Drew Brees and Julio Jones, division rivalry. But more importantly, I think for rating-wise, against the first presidential debate in probably the most polarizing election we've seen in a long time. And that's going to pretty much, I think, have most people's eyeballs on Monday.
Oh, yes, because that will be as entertaining as a pro wrestling match, because it will have some sort of shenanigans. We may have a run-in for this presidential debate.
There's over-unders, Joel, if Donald Trump is calling Hillary a bitch.
Under.
Like, I you say under, but I don't know, man.
Maybe it'll pop the ratings.
It wouldn't shock you. He's going to say something outlandish. Oh, and yes. It's going to, even if you don't start watching the presidential debate, you'll be on Twitter and you'll see something and want to turn to Twitter and want to turn it from the word on Twitter.
Yeah. But enough. I always, whenever it comes to political things, I always kind of want it to be toe and kind of be like,
yeah. Yeah, no, totally. All we're saying is that the Raw rating, as bad as it was this week, next week it could be one of the lowest ones of all time, going against the presidential debate, going against Monday Night Football, also all the returning shows. Like, it'll be the second week back now with the returning shows and the Big Bang Theories and the Gothams and all that. So, and that's what they had to deal with last week. They had to go against Big Bang Theory, their season premiere. That's on Mondays for now, while there's Thursday Night Football. So a lot going on for Raw in that slot. For SmackDown, obviously they got to go against the big shows in network and cable television, but not as much pressure going against a big sporting event just yet. When baseball playoffs ramp up and each team have their own individual scenes right now, that's what you and I were talking about off air. If you're a Red Sox fan, you're going to watch a Red Sox game, and you're a Tiger fan and whatnot. Come baseball playoffs, that's going to maybe start hurting SmackDown, because everyone will be watching the baseball playoffs no matter who the team is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, ratings... But at the end of the day, I'm gonna still watch. So
yeah, ratings are an interesting thing, because whether they go low or they go high, I don't really think it affects you and I. Like, if I heard the Raw rating was low or the SmackDown rating was low, like, well, that's unfortunate, but it's not gonna be like, well, the rating is low, I'm not watching it anymore, and it's not getting canceled. Either one of these shows are getting canceled.
It did get canceled in Germany. Germany pulled the plug on it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Just recently?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Why was that? Just because the ratings were too low?
Ratings, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. So I guess we won't see the German announcers anymore.
No, they are gone.
But yeah, USA, it's arguably the second most important show they have. Maybe Mr. Robot's number one now.
Yeah.
But it's a staple for USA. And it'll be interesting, though, Joel, in it's 2 or 3 years, I think, when their contract with USA ends, do you think we'll get to a point where Raw or SmackDown, one of the two or both, could become a network exclusive?
It's totally possible. But I don't think it'll happen.
I mean, that's the way a lot of shows and sports and things are going right now. So I wouldn't be SmackDown, possibly Raw. I think no matter who's alive on what side of the McMahons, they will go clawing and scratching for Raw to not be on a network, on a cable network, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because 100%. This is something that they'll need.
It will be interesting to see where that goes. And I think in some ways, you know, we have heard for a while that the network was made as a safety net for if they didn't. Because if you remember the last time when the contract was up and they had that kind of agreement with ESPN and ESPN backed out and they tried to go to Fox Sports – and they went back to USA for a lot lower than what they wanted. So going forward now, they kind of have the negotiation of, well, we could go to the network and use that against the USA network.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And definitely, it's a smart thing to have built. It's a fail-safe device, which is always good to have.
For us in Canada, I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. The only drastic change we've had for it is going from TSN to what was the Score, which is now Sportsnet 360.
Yeah.
Sportsnet seems to have a pretty comfortable relationship with the WWE. I don't see it evaporating anytime soon. They've had three people from the Score / Sportsnet staff that have gone on to currently work with the company or had worked, Arda being the former. Renee and Mauro still currently working with the company, and both had worked with the Score in currently right now. So definitely a good relationship there. And someone I want to be surprised that's done a lot of work with them on Sportsnet is Jackie Redmond. I want to be surprised one day if maybe she was someone that they would snatch up as well. It's kind of a nice little feeder system for them.
Yeah, it definitely has been. But ratings, where there are right now, we have the product on air, but. Before we jump, do you want to jump into Raw and SmackDown?
Let's go to SmackDown first, because we're going to be talking a lot about Raw with Clash of Champions.
Yeah.
Every single time I say the, take a drink, because that'll happen at least 5 times a day. I'm trying to not say the. I'm to Joel, I'm like, is it Clash of the, or is the not there? It's sort of very confusing. Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about SmackDown. Go ahead.
There's probably really 3 standouts from the SmackDown.
SmackDown had the biggest story of the week to me.
Yeah. Cena's first loss in 7 years on televised TV.
Clean.
To Dean Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
Who Meltzer had said this was a big mistake. Meltzer didn't agree with it.
I would agree with Meltzer, but tell me why he said it was incorrect.
Basically what I gathered from Dave Meltzer, he had said that his big thing, like there's a few things from Dave we're going to be talking about, but he claims it was a bad decision, and he thinks that Cena may not have been happy about it, and he didn't think it made any sense.
Because I think the real reason is that they're not going to have Cena get pinned by AJ. So I think they were thinking we need to heat up Dean, so when AJ pins him, it means more. Am I wrong in that assessment?
I don't think you're wrong in that assessment.
And are we leading to Cena Ambrose feud, and then we're going to kind of move AJ onto someone?
That's a possibility, and then return to AJ Cena.
Because are we going into Survivor Series? According to what they were saying on the law, there was some buzz that maybe the Randy Orton program would be jumped up to Survivor Series.
That's definitely a possibility. I don't think that's a bad idea. I mean,
no, because there's a lot of the rumors now of maybe AJ and Finn at WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, and that would make sense. And even if you did that as a cross promotional match, that would be great. But focusing on Dean getting that win, this is a guy that had been, he kind of sat there and was like, I don't know about this guy. Like, I know you've been down on him a lot.
I've been really down on him because he. You and I kind of talked about this off air. He kind of needs something to motivate him. And I think the best guys don't need that extra motivation. They're just good.
Yeah.
They just go and do it all the time. It's like a football player, you know? Some games they'll be killing it, and other games like, I'll take a series or two off. And it sometimes feels like he takes a series or two off.
Yeah, like it feels like he rests on his laurels.
Mm-hmm. And like this episode killed it. Great match with Cena, great energy. He was the Ambrose that we like. He beat Cena clean, and then he went on Talking Smack and had an outstanding promo. And as someone that's been super critical of Dean Ambrose, I'm like, that's what I want to see from you.
Yeah,
that's what I want to see. You had a fire lit under your ass from Cena talking shit about you, from Stone Cold being the major one that's talked about him, and Austin's gone on his podcast recently and continued to go against Dean, so that was not a work. That was a straight shoot. Austin is not a huge fan of Dean Ambrose, and neither have I been, because a lot of time it seems he gets in a comfortable place and rests on comedy and weird spots that he does.
Yeah.
And but when he's amped up and he's like this, it's like, oh, that's the guy that I really like. That's the guy that we saw at Roblox. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, this guy's great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think hopefully he keeps moving forward. But, you know, as of right now, I think that AJ obviously gets a win over... This has been a very fun feud, and I think all three guys are very good, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. And No Mercy is going to be a really fun main event overall.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
The other big thing that I think happened was the continuation of The Miz and Daniel Bryan. Their interaction and the layering to this story, and it's kind of building, and Ziggler is kind of the one going out and wrestle, and like, I'm just really enjoying this. Miz has looked really good. He sounded really good. Everything about his character. I remember when he won the IC title, I was bummed about it.
And then, well, we were bummed because he beat Zack Ryder, and we're like, oh, we all were so happy about this Zack Ryder moment, and we're like, oh, great, well, The Miz took away this moment from Zack Ryder, and we've been waiting for Zack to get this push. Little did we know that, no, this was 100% the right decision.
Oh, yeah. And now The Miz is off and running, and Bryan's just... there's so much about Daniel Bryan, of him still going to concussion specialists, still clawing and scratching and finding a way to weasel his way back in. I still very much wonder if we do not see at WrestleMania 32 Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. Because it's just, I guess that would be the ultimate payoff for this, because any other payoff would feel a little flat.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if in the next, I don't know, few months that we see something with Brie Bella and Maryse as well. Or, you know, that could be the way we go, Joel, to keep things safe, is a mixed tag. With Brie Bella and Bryan versus Miz and Maryse, just yeah, to keep things safe. Bryan can still get a spot in here and there, but then you can have Maryse and Brie do more of the work. And obviously that's not what fans want to hear, but you know, when it comes to safety, that could be the best testing ground for all parties involved.
Yeah, and just kind of see where things go.
Yeah, because you know that, you know, Maryse is a former women's champion. I think she was underrated for her time. She was pretty good, actually, as far as the models that they had hired. I'm not saying she's Sasha Banks by any means, but as far as the models that they had hired at the time, Maryse actually did impress me in her time there.
Yeah, and speaking of the women, Becky versus Alexa Bliss. What have you thought of that build?
I thought Alexa Bliss has been excellent lately. She's really impressed me with her promo. I really liked the contract signing segment. I thought she did a really good job with it. I like the idea of her tipping over the table. It makes a lot of sense for the Alexa Bliss character. She's really doing really well on the stick right now. She's actually, you know, as good as Sasha Banks is, Alexa Bliss is much better of a promo than she is.
Yeah.
I would say Alexa Bliss is arguably the second, third best woman that can talk in the microphone right now. I'd probably put Charlotte number one. Yeah. And Becky number two. Paige is up there, obviously. But yeah, I really, really solid work by Alexa Bliss right now. In ring, yo, obviously she needs some work. Part of me is like, oh man, I almost wonder if you want to put the title on to Bliss right now and to get the chase going with Becky.
Yeah, chasing's always better for a babyface than actually holding the title.
But I think for me, as far as like losing tag titles right away, I kind of spoiled what I was going to say there. Losing new titles right away, I would make it the tag titles. I would have the Usos win the titles at No Mercy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're on another level right now, man. I've never liked seeing the Usos this much in a long time.
It's been a while, and it helps that you got away from a certain other guy. You know, SmackDown's been good. It's a fun show. 2 hours.
I look forward to SmackDown. I will say that. I look forward to SmackDown. If I can watch a full show, I will. For me personally, you know, depending up here in Canada for myself, if the Blue Jays make it or something, I think that will affect the live viewing for me, as I think it will affect some people. But for the most part, like, I go out of my way to make sure I watch SmackDown. And, you know, after, like, a Raw that we had this week, it just, you know, nothing really ever terrible happens. You know, like the Alexa Bliss and Becky thing was kind of a breath of fresh air. Like, the women's promo on Raw this week wasn't the greatest, and just seeing Becky and Bliss go at each other. That's great. And, you know, we still have the Carmella and Nikki stuff going too, and that's great. And there's just really no terrible programs going on. The only thing that I'm upset about really is Apollo Crews getting pinned again.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that eventually that footing will be figured out.
Mm-hmm. I think he's just kind of a work in progress, right?
Yeah.
It seems the way they're going is Corbin for Swagger, which we didn't even talk about Jack Swagger back on SmackDown. What did you think about Jack Swagger back for week two?
You know, it gives him something to do. You know, this is a guy that can go out and compete and perform, and he was a former World Heavyweight Champion. Is he going to ever reach that level again? No, but in a show that needs some hands around there, it doesn't hurt to have an extra
few hands. For sure. I mean, we saw on the last pay-per-view, live special, whatever you want to call it, that, well, we both really enjoyed Backlash. We're like, they could use a few extra bodies.
Yeah.
And it's just nice to know that, okay, well, they have these extra bodies.
Yeah. And now that as they go through, they'll add more people and things will start to calm down. But I think... so far they've done a good job for the most part. Like, I've really enjoyed, and I'm continuing enjoying the build of SmackDown. But let's talk about our favorite show, Josh.
Well, I just want to say really quick, so I would say we're almost 2 months now into the brand split as we head into the first Raw only pay-per-view, which I think will be a really good pay-per-view wrestling-wise. But as far as the brands go, I think SmackDown is winning it for me so far.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you and I are going to see Raw live in Toronto. I'm upset that I don't get to see SmackDown. Like, I was almost talking to Joel today, like, maybe we should go to Ottawa so we can see SmackDown.
It would be nice, but not going to happen.
No. So let's move on then.
Well, Monday Night Raw, it's kind of... Even as we're recording this, it feels like a blur to me. I remember the cage match. I remember the list. The gift.
Yeah, Jericho was the best part.
Yeah. And the rest of it just kind of falls flat for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that woman segment was interesting. We talked about the double pin last week. Eh. I thought they could have done a lot better with that because you could have had Dana... could have been like, hey, well, they had the double pin, so that eliminates them, and I get to be in the match. But she never really fought for that.
No, the whole Dana-Charlotte thing is just a back-and-forth mess.
Yeah. Like, how many times can you get hit by somebody and still take it?
Yeah.
That's the problem that I have with it right now.
You're not alone. You're definitely not alone on this.
It seems a lot like we're like waiting for Emma to come to help her. But I don't think Emma should be a face.
Yeah, I don't quite know how they're gonna work this. I think that Vince thinks that there's big money in a Dana Brooke Charlotte feud for the title, and I just don't know if they're.
I think there is an audience for it, and it's a match I look forward to. I always, you know, it's the easiest story to tell in wrestling, right? The comeuppance.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, well, you know, it'll be a nice pop when Dana, but, I mean, she slapped Charlotte last week, right?
Yeah.
That's the payoff. And then it didn't come back. Are you building up to the full beatdown? Because that the first slap was the big one, and you gave the first big slap away last week. You know that somehow Dana is going to F up in this match this week.
Yeah.
Early spoiler, I think Sasha is winning this week.
She's cheating.
We'll see though.
Yeah. But let's, you know, we will see. The one thing I do want to talk about is the gift of Jericho that keeps on giving, even in his
drink sports. It in, man. Drink it in, man. So update on Chris Jericho. He was on Chael Sonnen's podcast Wednesday. And he said a few interesting things. First of all, did you get a chance to listen to it?
No, well...
All right, I guess I'll give you the cliff notes, and you can just comment as I talk about them. So first of all, this was only supposed to be a 4-month run. He was supposed to be done after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And now he said this could go until next WrestleMania. He doesn't know. He's going to go until he doesn't have fun anymore.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so for us personally, we're hoping that it's Jericho versus Kevin Owens and Toronto, selfishly.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility of who knows how long he's going to stay on, but it's a chance that he will stay till WrestleMania next year. I don't know the Fozzy tour date, so don't kick me in that, but that's quoting him from the Chael Sonnen podcast. He did talk about the Brock thing.
Oh, yes, I think I did hear a little bit about this, that there was a kerfuffle, as he called it.
Yes, he said, yeah, there was a kerfuffle. He was checking on one of his closest friends in Randy Orton, and he said that he went to see if Randy was okay. Him and Brock came face-to-face, and he'll leave the rest to imagination.
Yeah, it's probably smart.
And then he talked about this character. He said, obviously, the 2008 character was the best character that he ever did. But he said, this character is getting pretty close to the 2008 of the most fun that I've ever had, and for character-wise.
Oh, yeah. This has been a ball. Like, he's really just constantly grown.
And that's why with Jericho, I pointed out, you know, we had talked about him maybe facing Kevin Owens, right?
Yeah.
Jericho's never won the championship as a babyface clean.
You know, sometimes it just works that way.
So for him to win the title in Canada would be something special.
Yeah. I don't think it'll happen.
I don't think it'll happen, but he's never had a championship win that's like that moment. Yeah. You know? Well, like, just like the shining moment of his career for winning the title. The last title he won was Shawn Michaels super kicked The Undertaker, and he pinned The Undertaker in an Elimination Chamber match.
Yeah. Well, speaking of championships, the rumor apparently is to have KO versus Brock at Royal Rumble, so.
Oh.
Yeah. That won't be fun at all.
No, and that's going to be for the title?
Yeah.
Mm.
So, at this point in time, Jericho's kind of like Shawn Michaels. You don't need to give him the title, just kind of let him do his thing and let us continue to get the gift of Jericho.
Yeah, I think like even he was kind of saying, like, he's kind of talked about the inevitability of this becoming a babyface character.
Yeah.
Because he's like, at first I would come out and I would get like the hell boot out of me. And then all of a sudden, everyone's just cheering, like saying, chanting stupid idiots and chanting drink it in, man. And everyone's loving everything I had to say. And, you know, that was cool and everything. But now it's kind of like, damn it, I want to be a heel. And I can't be heel because everything I do is getting so over. And he told a story in 2008 when he was the suit, big word, kind of Nick Bockwinkel Jericho.
Yeah.
And he was in an elevator on his way to a show in MSG, and there was a little kid and his father there, and the kid asked him for an autograph, and he told him no, because he wanted the kid and the dad to boo the hell out of him.
Yeah. Gee, commitment.
Yeah, he's
in a three-hour Raw, anytime Jericho appears on the screen, it's a highlight.
It is. It really, like, this Raw was one of the worst ones ever, even PVR viewing it as I did. You know what, that's bad, like when you're PVRing something, it's like, oh my god, can I PVR any faster through this?
Yeah.
It was really bad. But Jericho just, I mean, aside from the weird six whatever man tag match that was, I think it was a little rough.
Yeah, that tag match was a little all put together. It was like, okay.
It was just all a little too convenient how everything just kind of worked out too perfectly, and I have my opinions on Cass and Enzo. I will say, like, I think when we see them live, you know, that's a exciting pop kind of moment. It'll be fun to do that live, I would say. But Cass talking, I just want to punch and throw things at my TV. I just can't stand Cass doing promos. Enzo, I'm okay with. Cass, I just can't stand his promos.
But he's the money one out of the two, according to Vince.
Like, the way that he did that promo, all the references, Jericho's like, what are you, from the 1990s? Like, you would expect Jericho to be talking about this stuff. Yeah. When he's talking about dynamic duels, you couldn't come up with something better than Ashton Kutcher and Danny Masterson? Like, really? Yeah. You couldn't come up with, like, LeBron and Kyrie or Steph Curry and Durant or something, or like Sidney Crosby and Malkin, or like a variety of other things, you know?
Yeah.
Like Batman, Superman, I don't know, Harley Quinn, Joker, something, but like the references were so dated and terrible, and I don't know if that was on Cass or if that was in the writers, probably a mix of both, but it wasn't funny.
No, like it's just not, like that whole mishmash of stuff was just kind of like, meh.
And if I hear him say Bert and Ernie one more time, it's like it's not funny. You've tried three times to get Bert and Ernie to be funny, and it's not funny.
No, it's not. You know what's not?
Because you're trying to get it as like a, as in a way as like a attack on homosexuals, realistically, and no one's laughing at that. Especially when you had GLAAD have a meeting there 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's just it's not in poor taste, and it's something that we've hit on before, and it's just like it's constantly like you guys just stop it, stop it.
And it really showed to me. I've had my thoughts up and down in the New Day, but when the New Day came out, I'm like, oh my god, the New Day are actually really good at this thing called comedy. They're really good at it because everything in that segment just changed as soon as the New Day came out. It just, everything changed, the pace changed, their timing for comedy, everything worked out well. I even think that the Shooting Stars did exactly what they needed to do to get their heat. I think they're doing a great job getting the heat right now.
Oh yeah, they're
people hate them, they're smiling, they're like, come to Puerto Rico. It's a shitty gimmick, but they're making it work.
Oh, yeah, and that's all you can do. Take it and turn it into something worthwhile.
Yep, and then Gallows and Anderson, they are funny, but I just don't think the kind of funny that they have, like we saw on Jericho's podcast this week, can translate to Monday Night Raw.
No. But they can, if they start really building up the ass kickers in them, then I'm okay with things. But
that's what you need to do with Gallows and Anderson. I think, you know, maybe they heard the Talking Shop Jericho podcast they did with all the impressions and everything, and like, oh, yeah, these guys are hilarious. And they are. I mean, if you heard them on MLW in the past or on Talking Shop, you would think, oh, Carl Anderson and Gallows are hilarious, which they are, but I just don't think in the Raw setting it works very well. And if you have too many comedic tag teams, it dilutes things down. I think that's the thing I like about SmackDown is we have one comedic tag team, and that's Slater and Rhino. Yeah. No one else is a comedic tag team.
No, I don't.
And that's why they work.
The other thing that's a little comical, who was in the main event, Josh? We're gonna blow him in Toronto, right?
Oh, I'm so excited. I almost wanna get a shirt that says Boo This Man and has Roman Reigns on it, but I don't want to spend money on something that has Roman Reigns on my chest.
Yeah.
But I'm tempted to get the shirt that has that and just says Boo This Man.
Well, apparently the steel cage for the main event on Raw was to help pop the ratings.
Well, of course it was, because they're just like, hey guys, we're going against Monday Night Football. What can we do? Well, goddamn, a steel cage will work.
Well, Vince was saying that over the phone because he hasn't been there for a couple of weeks recovering from his quad.
Right.
Yeah. So who's torn more quads, him or Kevin Nash?
I don't know. Honorable mention of Hunter, though, yeah. And Psycho Sid.
All three of them kind of are competing for the most quads torn ever, but Vince, still insane.
He was back in the office the next day, by the way.
Of course he was. That guy doesn't know how to stop working.
Apparently that happened to Dana White before. Well, not like a quad, but Dana White, remember he had like his ear like ripped off?
Yeah.
He went back to the UFC office the next day, and it's kind of like, everyone's like, oh my god, like Dana White and Vince, they're so similar in so many ways.
But they will fight each other. They're like oil and water, but at the same time they're oil and oil.
Yeah.
So Roman gets a win over the champion.
Not a pinning win, but a win nonetheless. Yeah. So first of all, obviously they try to get this cage to pop the rating. And again, I'm going to say this all every single time for the next 4 months. They have never beat Monday Night Football in the ratings, even during the Attitude Era. You just need to accept that you're not going to beat football and just go about having a normal show. Don't do things just to gimmick up to try to go against Monday Night Football. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to beat football. It was a really bad game. It was the Bears and the Eagles. Nobody cared about it, and all the only highlight was making fun of Jay Cutler on Twitter.
Yeah.
But you do the steel cage match, which it's never been good to do a steel cage match without any build-up. Like, Sasha and Charlotte is getting pretty close to maybe doing a steel cage match. You could do it, right? Because then there's no Dana interference, for example. Same with Miz and Dolph. You could do a steel cage match because then Maryse can't get in and Miz can't run away.
I think they are doing a steel cage between them.
Are they? See, that makes sense, though, right? Because yeah. Maryse can't get in, the perfume can't be there, and Miz can't run away. It all makes sense. That's why you have a steel cage match. Just having a steel cage match between KO and Roman makes no sense. And I guess you can go with the real, like, well, these guys were trying to get in and blah, blah, blah. But still, it didn't really work. No. And it wasn't like I took you, like, oh my God, a steel cage! Because they've diluted it down so much. I think part of it is TNA's pay-per-views in the past of all having steel cages. Steel cages just don't feel
special
anymore.
It's not like a Brett and Owen scenario where you have a steel cage and there's high drama and high intensity. It's just, oh, there's a cage now.
It's not going to be some of the bloody events of the past either, right? You're not going to have the gore, and the cage isn't going to be really used. It's just kind of like who can climb out the fastest kind of thing, right? And you know the spots that you're going to see in the cage match, because no one's really creative in that company anymore with their cage spots.
No. And the other thing is, like, KO is a fan. I'm very much enjoying Kevin Owens. I will
for sure
always continue to enjoy him. And him and Roman work really well together, but it's just, like, none of this clicks for me. But with this cage, there are two diversions, and it does impact Clash of Champions. One is Roman versus Rusev, and the other is the tweener. I'm calling him a tweener for now. We still haven't had that full-fledged babyface turn, but Seth Rollins. What do you think of Seth come running out and diving off that top of that cage?
I was cool with the idea, but then they went to black right away. It was a lot of weird production decisions in this episode.
Yeah.
The Brian Kendrick interview, a lot of people are saying that seemed to end really at a weird time. There was some weird black spots and stuff. In Canada, for Grand Metalik, we didn't get subtitles. In the States, they did. Yeah. I don't know why that was, but it just, that was weird. And then Seth came down. It's like Seth came down, and then they went to and they ended the show. It's like, oh, cool. So we're not gonna let that breathe. Then, hey guys, cool. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a very weird overall show. But I mean, Seth is starting to build towards. Seth is not beating Kevin Owens. There's no fact.
No. I think this. We talked about the two opponents for Finn Balor. It's either Kevin Owens or it's going to be AJ Styles. More likely, it'll be Kevin Owens.
Yeah. And, I mean, the other thing is, I mean, Seth will obviously go feud Hunter at WrestleMania. And Roman's going to win the U.S. title?
Maybe.
I don't know. That would be my guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess he will. I could see somewhat of a distraction. I wouldn't be shocked if he's back in the championship picture again. I do wonder, though, because we're presuming that Cesaro is beating Sheamus. So one of two things could happen with that. It could mean that he's going to face Cesaro. I mean that Sheamus... that Cesaro would face Rusev. Not Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Because it's a championship opportunity. So that we would go with Cesaro versus Rusev, ultimately letting Cesaro win the U.S. championship. And then put Roman Reigns back in the title picture in some manner.
Yeah. You have Cesaro jump ship, or you have Cesaro challenge Kevin Owens.
Yeah. So one of those things will happen with... Cesaro's either going to be involved with Rusev. Like if the Cesaro match happens early, before the which it will, let's be honest. Once that winner happens, so if Sheamus for some reason wins, then it's 100%. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But we're just going to assume pretty safely that Cesaro's winning that. Depending where the placement is, I'm going to assume that he's going to be facing Rusev.
Yeah.
And that Roman will probably face off against Kevin Owens. Maybe they'll do a fatal four way. Yeah. Hell in the Cell. There's been some rumors of going back to the once popular Armageddon Hell in the Cell, which is six competitors in it.
Yeah. Is it elimination or is it just...
It's just a one down.
One fall?
Yeah. So there's been some rumors of that possibly happening, of having six guys inside the Hell in the Cell, which would be interesting with the depth they have in the roster.
Yeah.
We hope to get multiple CWC matches then.
Yeah. Well, transitioning to that, I enjoyed it, and I was happy. And this is
good. I had no problem with it either, but apparently we're in the minority in that one, Joel. Yeah.
You know, Brian Kendrick got a win. I mean, he was a sneaky heel. Didn't like that Cedric tapped, but Cedric will recover. I mean, you introduce certain guys. Would I have liked to have seen TJP on there? Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
That was a mistake. We can both admit that. That was a big mistake.
But I thought they had a fine match.
Yeah, I thought the way they produced it was great. And, I mean, I think a lot of people didn't like the 2-on-2, 2-on-2 instead of having the heavy spot fest. I don't know. We seem to be in the minority, though. I wish we kind of had maybe like a Mo on for this, because we are definitely, I seem to be in the minority on this one, Joel.
Yeah.
Of liking it. Which we're both okay with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I thought it was fine. I mean, it's Cruiserweights on Monday Night Raw. It's the people that we loved. It's never going to be the same as what the CWC was. It's kind of what you see from a lot of NXT talent when they come over, right? It's not never the same.
No.
You know?
And you just got to... Well, this was night one. Let it settle in and let it kind of go and gain some steam. I think it will keep moving. And I think guys like Cedric and Brian and TJP will get over and connect with the crowd and just continue to excel from there.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. So,
you know, this works out really well. I don't know what's happened, but the transitions have been beautiful. But I want to transition to some of the rumors out there, Josh.
You said we got everything from Raw then?
Yeah, I feel like so.
Anything else we'll talk about in the preview?
Yeah. Rumors, because NXT was an okay show. It was there.
I think NXT is just kind of building over to... It seems that everything is going towards TakeOver.
Yeah.
We still don't know, like, if Joe is going to be facing Nakamura at TakeOver or beforehand. Personally, yeah. I kind of want Bobby Roode versus Nakamura being in Toronto, and I want Bobby Roode to win the title in Toronto. That's just my own personal selfish thing going to NXT. But I think we're getting him and Joe. I'm not sure. We're still over 60 days away from it.
Yeah,
58. Less than 60. Yeah, about 55.
58.
So, So it's 58 days away. I don't know.
Yeah, but transitioning into rumors, there was a tweet sent up by a certain man that ricochets around a lot.
Uh-huh.
And according to the Wrestling Observer, he's going to not ricochet and bounce into North America. Instead, he's going to stay with Lucha and continue to work with New Japan and have a bigger role in New Japan.
Really?
Yeah, that was the rumor. So, anything can change, but our second season CWC winner might not be there, Josh.
So, why did he... I wonder if the treatment of his friend is hurting his desire to go there.
I don't know, because it seems like Apollo's pretty happy. Like, he's enjoying mm-hmm. himself, and Tozawa being there helps, because he's
right.
part of that kind of group. I think it comes down to dollars and cents, and being able to do kind of what you want to do, having some freedom. So I think that, you know, he does his Lucha dates, but then he can do whatever else he wants.
So, but he would re-up for Lucha Underground then?
Yeah.
That, I think, is a mistake. Japan, I understand, but Lucha Underground, I think, is a mistake.
Yeah.
I think it's a fun little niche product. All respect to our Lucha Underground fans. I think it's a nice little niche product, but I don't think it's anything. If you're a Rey Mysterio, you've done everything.
Yeah.
It's perfectly fine being there. I think it's a nice little niche product. I don't think it's something you should want to hang your hat on. When he's, what is Ricochet, 26 right now, 27?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
I think, I mean, look, you're not getting any younger, man.
Yeah.
You should try to get that money, that WWE money, where you can. And maybe you can help get Tessa into there. Maybe that's part of the agreement, too, right?
But some people seem to think that this may be a just kind of leveraging WWE a bit.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So there's a lot of things. Like, one thing with wrestling rumors is anything can happen. And it's just kind of sitting there kind of waiting and seeing how they play out and where things come from. The other big rumor, and it does involve signing, is Matt Hardy. Apparently Hunter wants him.
And Jeff. But the contracts are much different. Jeff, in all likelihood, could wrestle at this year's WrestleMania because his contract is up in February. We now know his contract is up in February. Matt is just after WrestleMania, I believe in May, right? May, April?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they can't have the Hardy Boys. Do you do it as a package, or do you get Jeff and get him for WrestleMania?
Well, you're not going to... I don't know. Maybe you could have one come in and the other one come in as a broken character, because Matt owns the right to his character. He owns...
I think you can't just have him come in as broken Matt Hardy, though. You and I had a little bit of this talk last week.
Yeah.
I think he has to build up to it in the company. You can kind of be like, oh, we've heard of him losing his mind a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think you can't come in with broken Matt Hardy because... Well, yes, there has been a lot of delete chants lately. The majority of your fans do not know who Broken Matt Hardy is.
Yeah, but Vanguard 1's back, Josh.
I understand, and Senior Benjamin is free.
Yeah, and Matt and Jeff got... What is the gimmick? I just need to know, what is the gimmick?
That was the... not Fortune. It was the gimmick that he did when he was with Bischoff and Hogan. In that group.
Oh.
I think it was like Legend or Legacy or something.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's like near the dying days of TNA for me.
Oh.
And they had like Jeff Jarrett and Abyss in the group as well.
Oh.
Which is kind of funny to see now he's going against Abyss.
Oh.
I tried to watch TNA actually this week. I watched some clips and was like... I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, I really do like this Decay and the Hardy stain, and I will check that match out for Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'll check that out for Bound for Glory. What else do we have on here? And I just can't, like, I heard Moose cut a promo, and I don't think he's very good at cutting a promo.
Yeah.
The Maria stuff is very interesting. I didn't know she was the Knockouts champion. And it seems they have this interesting storyline with her going, but it's wrestling is hard because you can't really be kept in the loop unless you've really been watching it, right? And you have a friend that watches it, and neither one of us have anyone that watches TNA. So, well, I'm interested in this Maria and the Knockout storyline. I'm like, I don't know anyone that watches this, so I can't have any reference point of it. Well, Decay and the Hardy storyline, we kind of all know what's going on. Like, even Decay, we're like, I don't really know why Abyss is this guy, but I don't really care. I just know it's Abyss, and Abyss has always kind of been a weirdo, so I'll just accept that as that.
Yeah. And, you know, it works out well. Like, the transition keep on working out for us because Marie is married to...
Michael Bennett.
And he's someone that wants to feud with the newest TNA signing.
Cody Rhodes. So, what, are we going to get the Rhodes versus them then?
Yeah, that sounds like... Because the rumor is... TNA's workaround is to introduce them as Cody and Brandi Rhodes because WWE did not trademark Brandi Rhodes.
No.
So they don't own that at all. So that's how they're going to get it. Cody and Brandi Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll just be called Cody. But Cody wants to have a feud with him. It doesn't sound like Cody's going to be there a long time. But at the same time...
According to Dave Meltzer, Cody isn't really signing a contract per se. Cody's just working dates for them.
Yeah.
It's like another independent frame. Because Cody, from all sounds of it, it sounds like he does plan to go back to WWE.
Yeah.
But he just wants to spread his wings.
Yeah, and he really wants to prove his worth and value.
Yeah. I think Barrett's the same way, right?
Yeah. Doesn't sound like he wants to have anything to do with wrestling.
No, but like, he's on his Snapchat right now, and he had a whole Snapchat story the other day. He said he will come back to wrestling, but he wants to check out other endeavors.
Yeah, and that's fair.
Yeah.
And that's definitely fair. other notes, Kota Ibushi was announced as facing Kamen, who is a character who dressed up like a clown and does comedy matches on the 12-14 DDT show in Osaka at the Eden Arena. That is the same building NXT is running the night before. The impression people have is that Ibushi's doing comedy matches seem to indicate that he is not looking to do a physically taxing schedule due to his neck and has limited appearances.
Hmm.
So he doesn't seem to want to really physically grind himself out.
Can't blame the guy.
No. So, you know, I think he will be in WWE, but I think that played a big role in the physically demanding side of things.
I would agree, yeah, for sure.
What else big things have come out?
I will say, like, going back to TNA really quick, because is TNA in a little bit of a renaissance right now, Joel?
Not really. It's just the one segment.
I don't know, man. I think the Maria and the Michael Bennett stuff is catching people. Bobby Lashley is some people's most improved wrestler of the year.
Yeah.
I think as far as interests are, like, we have done this podcast for how long now? Almost 2 to 3 years?
Yeah.
We have not brought TNA up in any way other than talking about sales, which we'll get to in a second, is why I come back to this way. But now we're talking about, oh, well, Matt Hardy and this Jeff Hardy thing, and Abyss, and kind of talking about, oh, Michael Bennett and this, and Drew McIntyre and EC3, and it's for the first time ever, it started to pique my interest, like, oh, I kind of do want to see that, and you and I had kind of piqued interest in maybe even checking out Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
I think it's done a nice job of slowly building back an audience and getting guys like Aaron Rex, Damian Sandow, like Cody Rhodes, and it sounds like Del Rio could be hitting there pretty soon as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's done a nice little job of, you know, it's in this time, like, I think the major problem that TNA had was it wanted to be too much like WWE. And while they're getting the former stars, which is what you need to do because you need to build up star power, right? I think it's done a nice job of building some of its own stars or lesser known WWE stars and made them more relevant, like a Drew McIntyre and Ethan Carter III, Abyss, and bringing the guy like Matt Hardy, who by all things known, Matt Hardy was done in the wrestling community with those weird videos and the grapes and everything like that, and he ended up taking that and turned it into maybe one of the greatest wrestling gimmicks of all time.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're not wrong with TNA, but I still don't. It is the redhead stepchild of pro wrestling, and pro wrestling's the redhead stepchild of entertainment. So.
Yeah, but like I'm saying, like we can both agree, like it's done a nice job of redempting itself. Like it's piqued an interest from both of us. Like, oh, I mean, some of these names are really stupid. The name Crazy Steve is just like, I mean, it's not as bad as some of these names like the Jumanji has. One of the characters in Jumanji is called Ruby Roundhouse.
No.
And The Rock's name is Smolder Bravestone.
Oh.
It's like an NXT generator, man. The old NXT generator. But some of these TNA names are really stupid. But I'm impressed with how they've been able to kind of build up some talents and get themselves back.
Yeah.
It's still, when you watch it, like when I watched the episode that I did today that had the Decay and the Hardy segment on it, it still has that, you know, it's still a golden turd, right? You can polish a turd off and paint it in gold, but it's still a turd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's how
it still has the stank of TNA and why I don't like it. It doesn't matter how many talented wrestlers are there. It still has it on it. But I think they've done a nice job with all the additions that they've added to it. And Billy Corgan, I think, has been a nice addition. But talking about Billy Corgan as we transition, TNA is up for sale, and Billy Corgan is one of the people trying to buy it right now. The others are, one is rumored, and it's probably not true, is the WWE, just for the tape library. And then the one that's really interesting, though, Joel, is Sinclair Broadcasting.
Who do they own?
Yeah, Ring of Honor. And that would get them into the UK market and, more importantly, into India.
Yeah. which is both places that you want to go. And it's a huge thing that, yeah, it's a huge reason why you want to get to those points. And that's the huge drawing point for TNA. But, I mean, TNA is the, we had all those rumored prices and everything floating around. Vince is not going to buy it. I'm already ready.
Not for $12 million. If that's the rumor price, he bought WCW for $2 million, I believe.
Yeah.
And that's WCW and the NWA library.
Yeah. I think that would a similar price for TNA. I think Billy Corgan's ultimately going to be in control and get the company.
Yeah, that'll probably be what happens. He seems to be in charge and like how everything's going. Dixie's pretty much all been written out. And I'd love to see WWE buy the library, and it'd be interesting to see what they would do with the roster.
Yeah.
It would be weird to do a broadcast and look at AJ Styles' accomplishments and be like, oh, yeah, he's a former TNA champion.
Yeah.
It would be weird. They just like when it's not like TNA is this big conglomerate. It's just the way that WWE doesn't talk about them. It almost the least they talk about TNA, the bigger of a deal that they make TNA.
Yeah.
You know, if they just mention TNA the way they mention Ring of Honor or PWG, then they would be like, oh yeah, those are the wrestling companies. But the way they mention TNA, it makes it seem like it's the second biggest in the world. When really the second biggest in the world is when they mention a New Japan.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I go with the strict rule of I'll believe anything with TNA once I see it.
I mean the over under for Josh and Joel talking about TNA sales, I believe is at 7 now.
Yeah,
we've talked about this about I think 7,000 times.
Yeah,
about that. It's been quite a few times that we've had to talk about this company selling itself and. It's done a pretty good job being on pop sustaining itself, so I think they've definitely driven the price up. I just hope that the original rumors about them going to the Harris Brothers aren't true, because they may or may not be huge or racist. And that wouldn't be the greatest look for TNA.
Yeah, no, that would not help at all. But any other big news stories, rumors?
Well, Adam Cole. Yes. I'll let you tell that one because you gave me that update first.
So there's a small rumor floating around that ROH has added 4 more months to Adam Cole's deal. And Adam Cole, not happy about that.
Do you think the reason why this was because he wanted to go with the Bucks? If that is true?
I don't know. It seemed like he was pretty happy, and if they'd left it alone, in all likelihood, he probably would have re-signed with ROH.
Okay.
But they did this, and now it sounds like in April he wants to go over to the Fed.
Be interesting if they could have him debut at WrestleMania TakeOver.
Yeah, that would be huge. I don't know how that would all work, but you know he could be our and I mean his best friend has the WWE Universal title. Most of his friends have started to make their way to the. To the Fed.
We're assuming that the Bucks are heading there. We're assuming as much.
I still have doubts. The Bucks are always seem kind of maybe, maybe not. They seem to be having a lot of fun with Omega and New Japan. So,
well, that's another one that we're not sure about.
Yeah, there's a whole clump of names that we're like maybe, maybe not.
We still don't know Jay Lethal's contract. We know everyone but Jay Lethal's now. We know the Hardys. We know. The Bucks, we know Cole's, and we still don't know Jay Lethal's contract. See, that's like the mysterious one.
Jay's hasn't been really thrown in any serious feuds. Like, he hasn't made any big splashes. He's still in the main title picture for them. But I haven't noticed him being in a big feud, so I wonder if his contract's up soon.
Maybe, you know, I think he should debut at NXT Toronto, Joel. I just think that would be the perfect time for him to debut.
You just have everyone debut at NXT
But the Bucks, Jay Lethal.
Before we get to...
Okada's coming out.
Before we get to Survivor Series, NXT TakeOver Toronto, we do have a few pay-per-views to get through. And
unfortunately,
Clash of Champions. So yep. I've got the card right in front of me. You ready to run down the Clash of Champions 2016?
Yes. Can I continue my belt reign? I'm the champion of the world.
All right, let's start off with Alicia Fox versus Nia Jax in a pre-show match.
I love Alicia. I think she'll be an agent one day. She is really, you know, it's pretty rare to have a woman in the company wrestling for as long as she has. These are all positive things I have to say about Alicia Fox, because she's going to get absolutely destroyed.
Yeah, Nia Jax is winning 100%. It'd be crazy to have Nia job out.
She'll job out just to Nia's annoying voice.
Yeah. The next match we got is the Best of Seven series, Cesaro versus Sheamus. They are tied 3-3. Cesaro has come storming back. Who will get the final win?
Cesaro.
Cesaro. I'm perfectly okay with Cesaro getting the win. I mean, you're going to do the comeback story. Might as well do a full completion. Maybe mm-hmm. Cesaro can come out with a Cleveland Cavalier jersey on.
Maybe.
Yeah. But Cesaro...
Good call on that, John. You know, you would have thought that I would have been the one that would have had the basketball reference. Shouts to Joel for having the basketball reference.
Every once in a while, I'll come out and have surprises. And I think Cesaro gets a title shot, which will be cool. The next match is for the newly minted WWE Cruiserweight Champion, TJ Perkins, takes on the Brian Kendrick, whose last Raw match was in 2009 against Kofi Kingston.
Yeah.
And he has debuted, and he has come back. He has come back with a purpose. Does TJ job out in his first title defense?
No. I think what we're building to is eventually a Neville and TJP match.
I've heard that they don't want Neville in the Cruiserweight, but I can see them having...
I had heard that they kind of heard that maybe they didn't think Neville should be in the Cruiserweight, and they just want to have CWC guys. I don't like that idea.
Yeah, I think there's a few guys that you can definitely have in there that could help.
Like, I wouldn't mind Jericho being in there, man.
It'd be fun.
I think having Jericho in there would be really, really fun. I think he could add a lot to it.
Yeah.
But we will see.
Yeah. Next match is the tag team titles, the Club versus the WWE Tag Team Champions, Big E, Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods of the New Day. Who's winning?
I'm going to go the New Day because they want that demolition record, and they're too close for it now.
Yeah, it makes sense. It definitely makes sense, but I'm going to pick the Club.
I hope I'm wrong on this one. Yeah. I really do. I want to be wrong.
I think that we get Magic Killer, and the Club gets a win and starts building them back up a bit. But we will see. Next match, this little Canadian match, Sami Zayn, Chris Jericho.
No one match of the night possibility.
No one cares about this, right?
It's going to be a really good one. I'm really excited about this match. I think a lot of people are, obviously. I want to pick Jericho to win this.
Yeah.
I think Sammy obviously needs the win more. This one's a tough one to pick, to be completely honest with you, Joel.
Yeah.
Here's two scenarios. I want to be shocked if they use the leg as an excuse and have Jericho beat Sammy.
Yeah.
And build off that leg thing while it's a Jericho. So I'm going to go with Jericho.
I am going right alongside with you, Jericho. I think Jericho cheats to win because it makes sense for Jericho to cheat to win. And, I mean, it builds off the feud a bit more where you can have the blow-off at a Monday Night Raw between Sammy and Jericho, and Sammy gets the bigger win. But I think to start things off, Jericho gets the win and starts kind of heating things up from there. I think this feud will go on for a little bit, which is perfectly okay with me.
I would agree with you on that. I could even see, again, both these guys, if that Hell in a Cell thing happens, that big Hell in a Cell match that we're hearing, I could see both these guys into that Hell in a Cell match for the championship.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Next match is Charlotte defending her WWE Women's Championship against Sasha Banks and the Hugger, Bayley.
I've been going back and forth on this one all week. I know I said I thought Sasha was going to win earlier, but I'm not so sure. I'm going to let you go first on this one.
The winner of this match will be Sasha Banks, and we're going to see a little Eddie Guerrero, a little lying, cheating, and stealing, and this is going to start the slow turn of Sasha Banks versus Bayley at WrestleMania 33.
Does she pin Bayley to win the championship?
No, it's got to be Charlotte. Charlotte's kind of the main thing, but Bayley's kind of off to the side.
No, but does she pin Bayley in this match?
No. It's Charlotte that would be the one that gets pinned.
I'm just wondering if she pins Bayley, and then Charlotte can at least have that kind of as a backup.
Maybe, but yeah, and that could probably extend the feud a little bit. But
and then Dana screws over her, so you can get them to kind of go off and do their own thing. See, everyone wants Sasha and Bayley at WrestleMania, and I just don't think it's going to happen at WrestleMania. I think, and this isn't even me trying to, because I'm going to see it, I think it's happening at Survivor Series. I don't think they can hold off. Like, it's half a year until WrestleMania. You're going to hold off half a year from doing this match? Yeah. The only way you can do that is if Charlotte wins this title, Sasha goes off and does another feud, and that Bayley ultimately wins the championship and we come back. But the moment is Bayley win the championship at WrestleMania. I don't know how you book out of this match.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for Sasha, but I'm going to go with Charlotte, I think, right now.
Yeah, no, I definitely... it's a tough one to call. Like, it's definitely... But I'm still going to go with the boss. But we shall see. And now, the second
I picked the right to change this on Sunday, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, our I'm just going to call it our co-main event, because it will be, and it's just the way it is. And we'll be so excited. Ruru defending his wife's honor and the WWE United States Championship against the Roman Empire, Roman Reigns. Crickets? Silence?
I don't know, man. I'm going to pick Ruru.
I will be different, and I will put the title on Roman Reigns because that keeps him busy for a little bit.
I'm going to pick... I'm pretty confident that Rusev is going to win.
I'm going Roman.
Interesting.
Yeah. And finally, our main event. The Universal Championship will be defended. Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins. Who wins, and what's the likelihood of Hunter getting involved?
100% on Hunter.
Yep.
I think you need it because Seth is kind of looking like a little bit of an idiot lately.
Yeah.
Like, he's losing far too frequently, and that's the thing I don't like about this is that, you know, like, he's supposed to be the man in the sky, but he's losing so much that I don't know how much I like this for his character recently, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm picking KO to win. I just don't like the position they put Seth into. Yeah. So I think that the only solution out of it is to have the game come out.
Yep. And I think that's how it will end. And I think KO will continue to keep his run and being the longest reigning Universal Champion in history.
Yeah.
So... That is our WWE.
It should be a really fun card, wrestling wise. Like, there's no super. Like, even say what you want to say about Roman. Like, he has good matches, at the very least. So, him and Rusev will be a fun, okay, decent match.
Yeah. I think from top to bottom, I think there's a lot of things to look forward to. The women's match will be fun. The main event will be good. TJ versus Bryan will be good.
The pre-show is super skippable, though.
Yeah. So all these matches, like, this will be a fun card. Like, I'm very excited.
And I'm assuming they don't have it on there, but you know, at some point, somewhere, there's going to be big Enzo and Kaz for Shooting Stars.
Yeah, it'll probably be a pre-show.
It's not listed, and if that happens, I think we're both taking Enzo and Kaz to win that.
Yeah, they need to get a win.
Yeah.
So that is WWE Clash of Champions 2016 preview. That will be Sunday, so
quite and the week after, it's No Mercy.
Is the week after No Mercy?
2 weeks after that. It's okay. So the week after that is Battle for Glory, then the week after that is No Mercy.
Okay, so busy, couple busy Sunday for the wrestling world, but You know, I think we've got some good wrestling matches, and that's kind of the big thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've got you. Any other closing remarks?
Maybe just double check one of the latest rumors really quick, and then let's get out of here.
Let us go and check.
But for the most part, you know, it's crazy how hot this year started, and now it's kind of dwindled down a little bit. It's been a lot quieter into this week. You know, there's the odd things here and there, but not too much. It's, you know, we're building up to the next big pay-per-view in Survivor Series for the Big Four and the big week they're going to have in Toronto. And,
Nothing major.
Oh, Ryback changed his name to Ryback.
That's the perfect way to end the podcast.
So, yeah, that was interesting.
Good times.
And, Kia Stevens is going to be in the Glow Netflix series. Do you know who Kia Stevens is?
Yeah.
That would be awesome, Con.
Fun. Devon Dudley was reportedly backstage
at
wrestling WWE.
Okay, because then you had heard the Bubba thing, right? Because Bubba was at the House of Hardcore.
Yeah.
And started something with Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're staying with the company.
Yeah.
I think they're just kind of working some stuff out.
Yeah, I think they do. I think Devon is talked about being an agent and working backstage, and Bubba would do the Bully Ray.
Cool. That would be fine with me. Can we get back to Bully Ray Watch? I just want to go back to one little thing, because I don't want to go in circles, but one thing I do want to talk about, because I had a chance to read the article now, is that, yeah, it seems like Cena wasn't very happy with the Ambrose situation.
I think Ambrose has rubbed people the wrong way.
I had made the prediction that I'd think he'll be out of the WWE within the next 3 years.
It's possible. It's totally possible.
We'll see. We don't have any claims of Cena getting it. Maybe it just could have been how... Do you think the Dean is sloppy in the ring at all?
It could be a little bit of that, but he seems like he's a decent worker.
Do you think that clothesline could be maybe a little too stiff for some people sometimes, maybe?
It's possible. What was it called? The wacky clothesline or the...
That was the wacky line or something, yeah. Yeah,
it's the wacky line that hurts a little too much.
I really think if you're going to beat Cena that it has to mean something.
Yeah.
And it meant something because it got all of our attention, right?
Yeah.
But still, it was kind of a throwaway segment.
Yeah. I don't know. It is what it is. We'll see how it all plays out.
Someone bigger could have used that win.
Yeah.
Like someone smaller even, right? Like, I guess Dean getting it is great because to me that established Dean as that's one of the guys now. To me, more than anything that Dean's ever done, that put him into the stratosphere of main eventer.
Yeah.
To me, like he is a main eventer guy now. He's not a mid-carder. He's a main eventer guy to me now. With getting that win. That meant more to me than him being WWE champion. They see him as a main event guy.
Yeah.
And I think he's kind of felt behind some of the Shield guys at times.
Yeah. And now he's elevated.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how everything plays out with Dean, Cena, and AJ. But, I mean, Dean got a win. It is what it is. Cena's unhappy about it. Then politics some more.
Awesome, and I like what the Usos are doing too, by the way. Love their look, and love everything they've done. Like what they did with American Alpha, great storytelling in that match, and that's all I got for me.
Yeah, I'm pretty much, I've said my piece.
Alright, so until next time, cheers!
The Wacky Line!
We're out like Ryback's name.